Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister, and we are going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the first season of Resident Alien. This aired on Sci-Fi, and it is based on a series of mini-series that Dark Horse Comics did. So we may or may not spoil some of those. We're certainly going to talk about them, but I say may or may not because I haven't actually read them since they came out, and there's one currently coming out.
Okay.
And the title of that one, which is like the sixth or maybe seventh volume, is Your Ride's Here. And it's basically Harry getting possibly a ride home.
Mm.
The basic premise is there's an alien on Earth. And in the comic, and again, I'm going to reread the first volume and do it as a back issue spotlight with James as we record this in another week or two. And I haven't reread that since it came out a good couple of years ago. But there, it was... If I had to give the elevator pitch, it was essentially Murder, She Wrote, starring My Favorite Martian.
Mm-hmm. Which are good shows.
Yeah, but it's, you know, the kindly, you know, alien solving crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what we get here in the show is a bit different than that.
Well, we solve at least one crime, but honestly, I felt they cheaped out on the solve. We never got a motive.
Well, I was going to say, we got a crime story, but it's not a crime story as the focus.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of window dressing because that's how they needed to pull him into the town.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas pretty much every volume of the series of miniseries has that kind of mystery aspect to it in some way, shape, or form.
I would say this as a TV show was more of a character-centric with a lot of fun to watch characters.
Definitely, it was almost more of a Northern Exposure sort of a show.
That would be a good comparison, and I haven't watched much of it, but yeah.
A quirky group of characters in a, I don't want to say remote town, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And here, it's much more comedic, and while there are police cases getting dealt with, that's more incidental than the main plot. And here, it's the comedy's about the fish out of water, the awkwardness of an alien trying to pass for human.
Well, but they went with the very painful type of comedy, and that's not my sense of humor.
Well, Alan Tudyk is the star and plays the alien, or at least the human version of the alien, because apparently they've got a stunt double or whatever who's in the alien-looking alien version. And there's a definite, I mean, we've seen him enough at conventions to get a feel for his sense of humor and whatnot. And this definitely feels like that sense of humor was firmly entrenched into the property.
Yeah.
In a way that makes this very different than the comic. Not going to say better or worse, but very different. Even though it's got a lot of similar aspects, it's just, if it was almost any other actor than him, I don't know that they could have pulled this off. Because his portrayal of Harry... It's like from the school of the aliens from Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
With the awkward in the body and odd enunciations and things of that sort.
Well, and totally ill-equipped for the planet. And admittedly, he crashes. He doesn't expect to be here. And we learn more about just how unprepared he was to be here. But, I mean, he's unintentionally taken the place of a doctor and then gets pulled in by the town to be the doctor. So there's the, well, it's no problem, I'll pull out the phone and I'll Google how to do this, that, and the other. At one point, he sits down between the patient's legs to do a GYN exam and accidentally takes a photo instead of doing the Google search.
Yeah.
And then it's, selfie with my first patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely an odd sense of humor. And it's funny because getting pulled in to be the town's doctor is from the comic, as I recall.
And I can see where that would happen and be an entryway, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why a writer would do that.
Well, if I recall correctly, and again, it's been a few years since I read the original miniseries that set everything up, I thought he was almost more of an anthropologist studying Earth.
Which is interesting.
To figure out, is it going to be a threat? Is it not? That sort of a thing. And wound up stuck on Earth. I forget exactly how or why, but he didn't have a ship.
Well, this filmed in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I mention that because while it's set in Colorado, I think they should have set it in Canada, frankly. And I say that because a lot of what they did pulled from the strengths of rural Canada, played to the strengths of rural Canada. Canada has what they call the First Nations, as opposed to our very American tense relationship with the reservations and what happened with the Native peoples. Canada's history with the First Nations, somehow they've at least created an image of things having gone better. And I mention that because Asta, definitely from a Native background, and then she's got her father, who turns out to be her stepfather, but they bring in kind of that Native sense of spirituality.
And that definitely gets played up more in the comic.
Well, I thought they played it up really nicely, like late in the season when we go to a, well, it's supposed to be a sci-fi convention, but it's more of a have you ever been abducted convention.
Yeah, it's a UFO convention, not a sci-fi, but yeah.
And, you know, she goes up there and she says, you know, I saw that streak across the sky and I thought, was it a falling star? Was it a sign? But for me, it gave me the hope, the inspiration to break out from an abusive relationship, to take the step I needed. So for me, it was a positive omen. But it really pulled on the spirituality and the mythology that I link to Native people and First Nations.
Well, and Asta is one of the characters they pulled from the comic.
I think Asta was probably one of the greatest characters for me in the show.
Definitely one of the most developed.
And, I mean, it's one of those things where I saw an interview connected to the character slash actress, and I started to click on it, and I'm like, I really want to let the season play out, then go read it in case there are spoilers.
Smart.
But the headline was the actress saying she really wanted a season two because it was one of the best characters she's ever had. I'm like, I can see that.
She definitely had a lot to work with here, and they do get a second season.
Yes.
So I'm not sure when that's going to air.
Well, but when you look at her character, they gave her multiple difficulties in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of raised by a stepfather.
Yeah.
Who ended up being her single parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because mom walked out. She becomes a teenage mother.
Yeah.
Who realizes her seems to be older than her, i.e. not equally teenager, boyfriend, baby daddy, is not fit to help her create a marriage, raise a child, whatever you want to say. So she makes that tough decision to put the baby up for adoption. But she never loses track of that baby because it's a private adoption.
Yeah.
So here we are 16, 17 years later, and she's still hovering almost like a guardian angel.
Yeah.
Over that daughter.
Because Harry's now the town doctor. Asta is the nurse for the previous town doctor, who kind of inherits the new doctor. And then Jay, the daughter, is working there at the clinic or whatever.
Well, and what we find out is Asta got her the job when she realized she needed an after-work job to be keeping her out of trouble.
Well, and again, from the comic, Asta, as the nurse and all of that, was part and parcel. She starts to figure out about Harry partially through, you know, hanging around him for a while, partially through, you know, visions, guidance from the father figure, who's much more of a shaman type.
And that explains some of the, he didn't like the feelings he was getting pertaining to Harry. And I liked when we went out to where Asta's family,
the extended family. Yeah, I thought that was really well done.
That was a great series of scenes. And they were pointing out to her kind of a, Jay's always had this family. I wanted at some point, and maybe it'll happen next season, take Jay out there.
I think they're at the point they could definitely do that next season, and they should.
I mean, one of the things I loved, and I should have seen coming, but I didn't actually, was when Jay quits the clinic in a fit because she's realized what all Asta's done. Okay, that makes perfect sense. And she ends up over at the diner where Jay's father is the cook, and it's, you know, I'm on the verge of a temper tantrum. I want a meal, but I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And he says family never pays. And then a little down the line, we discover he gave her a job.
Yeah. He was a great character, the father figure there.
He was. I wanted him to have more.
He reminded me, a different character, but the same almost sensibility, whatever, of the Skipper from Gilligan's Island.
Yes. He reminded me a bit of Skipper, and honestly, he reminded me a bit of Braytac from Stargate.
Mm.
The wisdom when you need the wisdom, the acceptance when you need the acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very much fits the wise old man kind of stereotypes or whatnot, or narrative role.
But he also, I want to say, he brings out the best in you, because mm-hmm. the actor who played the sheriff, Corey Reynolds, first of all, I can't stand the sheriff's nickname, and I think they did that on purpose.
That character of the sheriff is very different, as I recall from the comic, because I'm pretty sure they had a sheriff there, but it was a fairly nondescript one.
This one was descript.
Oh man, this one was chewing up the scenery. He did a great job with the role he had. He almost reminded me, in terms of over-the-topness, not in terms of characterization, of Roscoe P. Coltrane from Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes! Yes.
It's just a very pronounced
yes.
personality.
Yes. I mean, I've seen the actor, Corey Reynolds, on The Closer.
Mm-hmm.
Much lower key character who just kind of shined with minimal material. So to see him given this, I'm like, he's nailing
yeah.
kind of the opposite of what I've seen. But what I loved was because he was so often over the top, and again, a totally different sense of humor mm-hmm. than what they'd given Harry. But they were going for a strong sense of humor with that character too. And then at one point, Asta's dad, Dan, walks in and he's like, Asta's not answering her phone. He's like, kids will be kids type attitude. And he's like, I was in the military. My gut says this is bad. You were in the military. You know to trust our guts. And the sheriff suddenly goes totally serious.
Yeah, that was a great scene between the two. It's like, we have this background in common. You need to listen to me on this. And yeah. he does.
Yeah. It's like, we have this bond of trust.
Mm-hmm.
We know when to set the humor aside.
Well, and that's one of the things I thought was a lot of fun about the show is while it did have that awkward sense of humor at times, while it did have that over the top with the sheriff and stuff, it also had some heartfelt moments. It had some good plot progression.
Mm-hmm.
And it had some range in what it was doing without feeling schizophrenic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was amazed that the sheriff's deputy got such good use,
mm-hmm.
had an arc. And honestly, I think the deputy was incredibly well cast for what they did with her.
Well, and that arc with her was both an arc for her and for the sheriff.
Yes.
So those two progressed over the 10 episodes.
Yes. And I would say it was both a personal and professional arc for the two of them together.
Yes. I would say most, if not all, of the characters had a serious progression and growth from the beginning of the season to the end.
Yeah.
Or beginning of the story to the end. And I want to phrase it that way because many of the episodes started with a X time ago.
Oh
and it was
gosh.
Getting a little hard. It's like, okay, but have we moved forward a week? Have we not? So when you say this is a week ago or 2 weeks ago compared to last week, when is that? I got a little tired of the jumping around.
There was one point when it said it was 5 months ago. And I'm like, so having to ask you literally out loud. So does that mean that's right before the season started or right after the season started? Because that makes a huge difference in what they're showing us.
Before the ship crash lands, is it the human Harry the Doctor or the alien Harry the Doctor?
Yeah.
And there were a couple of times it was easy to get lost in terms of, again, the timeline. And it would be a little interesting to see if this was told in sequential order, how much time all those flashbacks took, if that was a full episode. I mean, I get why they don't tell it in sequential order.
I do get that. But honestly, the flashback that I think would have served well back in the first episode, even though they may not have either thought of it yet or thought because it didn't relate specifically to that episode they couldn't put there, was the one from 50 years ago with the little girl taking the Polaroid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think if they had not done X time ago, because 50 years ago, fine, it doesn't matter if it's 50 years and a week or a month. But when you're doing a week, 2 weeks, 4 months, 5 months, I'd almost have it rather it be relative to the crash.
Yes. Yes.
Crash, you know, 50 years before.
Yeah.
You know, 3 days after.
Well, and there was one where I'd gotten so used to them doing weeks and months that I didn't actually catch it was years.
Mm.
Until you said, no, no, we're on years. I'm like, oh, that makes so much more sense.
Yeah. Because this story, because of those flashbacks, spans half a century.
Yeah.
And a fair amount is happening kind of before the start of the season.
Yes.
The other characters that were different from the comic, but as I recall, pulled-ish from the comic, was the mayor and his family.
Okay, the mayor actually cracked me up at times, but at times I'm just looking at the mayor going, seriously?
The mayor in the comic was a nondescript, middle-aged white guy, who I don't recall if he had a family.
I think it's fair to say, anytime you say nondescript in the comic, people can just assume they're descript in the show. Because
I was more referring to placeholder figure. He's the mayor and that's his role.
Well, but what I'm saying is so many of these characters were not...
They were quirky.
Yeah. I was going to say they were not just your level average every day. They no. were over the top in some fashion.
If the mayor had a family in the comic from the early miniseries, I don't really recall it. And it was more, that was the one who pulled Harry to be him and the sheriff and stuff. And he was the guy Harry would either find out about a new case or talk to about the new case. He was, I don't say the Watson, but kind of sort of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's been a few years since I've read it. I may have a totally different story on this when I reread it and talk with James. Just going to be upfront on that.
That's fine.
But in the comic, I think... And again, I could be wrong on this. I think any kid would see him as such.
I was going to say, do you remember this genetic anomaly?
It was not a genetic resequencing or whatever he was doing in the comic. It was like a mind thing.
Oh, interesting. Well, no, no. I meant the genetic anomaly that meant only Max and one or two other people saw him as he normally
no,
is.
No, I don't think it was unique to Max. I think it was anyone of a certain age.
That's funny.
Kids, where they could just accept it, would accept it.
Mm-hmm.
When they got to the point, it's like, no, no. And again, I think he looked almost more like a Ray Walston type in the comic.
But see, to me, I can understand what the writer was thinking on those lines in terms of kids will accept almost anything. And yet we reach a point where less that we've closed our minds and more that we've been taught there's no such thing as magic. Either
you see what you expect to see and you don't expect to see aliens.
Well, but either there's an explanation or it's not there. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, in the show, when Max, who has this genetic ability to see the alien despite his camouflage, and it gets to where the doctor is put five photos out. It's like, which one is me? He's like, I don't know. You look like an alien.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's telling the parents he has faced blindness.
Well, my best story on that one is going back to the you see what you expect to see and you just kind of disregard what you don't expect to see type thing. When we went to MegaCon. In mm-hmm. Florida. A friend picked me up and said, hey, you want to go over to Planet Hollywood?
Yeah, you've told me the story. It's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, and grab a bite to eat. And I said, sure. And we get over there, and, you know, it's, what, by one of the amusement parks, and we're walking over to grab a bite to eat. And I'm like, wow, that's Darth Vader and Chewbacca coming out of the restaurant. That's really cool. And he's looking at me, and he's going, what are you seeing? I'm like, that's David Prowse and Peter Mayhew coming out of the restaurant. And he's like, we just walked by the whole 501st.
Mm-hmm. The whole Stormtrooper Legion.
You didn't spot a single Stormtrooper in full getup. And you see David Prowse and Peter Mayhew.
Well, it's funny because at conventions, there comes a point where Stormtroopers and certain other types just don't register anymore.
And I'm like, I've been seeing cosplay all day. I hadn't seen them.
I do recall a couple of times sitting up in the mezzanine level at San Diego, just people watching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, there's some Sailor Moons, there's some Hogwarts, there's some, you know, Stormtroopers or Trekkies or, you know, whatever. And I'm sitting there watching, and one of them, two guys, just kind of cracked me up because they were doing fairly good cosplay of Lupin the Third and his sidekick, whose name I forget, from the Monkey Punch series of stuff, which is I don't want to say obscure, but not particularly greatly known in the States, kind of anime. And it's one of those, either you get it or you don't. And if you do, it stands out. But if it's one of those that everybody's doing, a Spider-Man or a Joker or a Harley Quinn or something. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think where they went with the face blindness and Max, the kid, the son of the mayor and stuff, in the relationship with Harry, great comedic stuff. Great arc for Harry, for the kid, Max, and the girl. What's her name?
Shamir.
Over the course of the season.
I loved the scene in the diner after the truce was declared, where each had questions for the other.
Yes. It's like, okay, we've gotten past all that. Now let's get down to the brass tacks, and this is what's really going on in the universe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It had some fun moments, and I liked all of that, but it was also something that was not in the comic whatsoever, and was probably the biggest fundamental character difference of Harry between the comics and the show.
I was surprised by Harry's aggressive wanting to torment and harm the child. I mean, I get he came here intent to do a mass extermination event, but there's a difference between I'm going to drop a bomb on the world and I'm going to individually kill person by person.
Well, that mission he's got of wiping out humanity here in the show versus, again, I would have gone the Uncle Martin from My Favorite Martian, the kindly, older alien who's just, a swell guy and he'll help you with, medicine. You humans are so simple, it's no problem.
Yeah.
There's a murder. Yes, sure, it's a fun puzzle.
There's a part of me that would love to see one of these alien stories where basically some alien has come to Earth to retire on that cheap world where you can live like a millionaire on nothing.
He wants to go out in the boonies and this qualifies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you heard, now I can't think of the movie about the retirees from, I think, Britain who went to India.
You've told me about that. I forget the name of it.
Yeah.
Hotel something or other? No.
I think so. But with Judi Dench and the like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyways, I mean, it's a concept that's been around for a while. Find a country where your money goes 10 times as far. And I'd like an alien to try it with our world.
It would be interesting. I think, and again, I'm going to reread the first miniseries that set all this stuff up. But he seemed to be either on Earth for a long-term mission just to study the planet and therefore doesn't have a ride home. Had gotten dropped off, to live with the natives for a bit or whatever. But to basically stay out of the way and learn, versus here, he'd come with a mission to wipe everything out. And
lost his device.
Yeah. He got, in the show, involved with the murder as much because it would arouse suspicion if he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then as much to hide the fact he was the murderer. And it's funny because what we find out at the end is the murder he was there to solve, we get some insight as to who really did it, even though the case was it was closed, but I think wrong.
Yeah.
And that's something that probably will play out next season.
It was closed, wrong, but we never got a genuine motive, even when we were shown, no, really, it should have been this person who was arrested.
They gave a motive, but it was sketchy. Jealousy and another lover.
No, not for the person they did arrest.
Oh, okay.
For the person who should have been arrested.
Yeah, that the one we found out who did it there at the end, zero motive. I have no idea. And it makes absolutely no sense because I think that would have changed how certain people acted in other situations early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got to imagine they had all 10 episodes plotted out, if not written, prior to starting the season. But there were some aspects in that last one that it's like, wait a sec.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because in the last episode, we get to a certain point and I'm like, and that means season 2 will be X, Y, Z. And you're looking at me like, I don't think so. And then we get to the end and we're like, okay, skip Y, just have Z.
Well, there were a couple of things by that last episode. It's like, okay, I think they've got at least three things to deal with, you know? Or I forget if it was before the last. At some point, I mentioned that. It's like, okay, the first doctor who dies, they got to deal with that and close that off. The second doctor, which is Harry, they've getting a second season. That implies he'll be back as the doctor, or what's he doing in town?
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a third doctor who's already replaced him, so what's going to happen with him?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, because I think that other doctor was about the only other actor other than Alan Tudyk that I recognized from the show. Because I'd seen something he'd done years before.
Oh, that's fine.
And I felt that at the end of the season, they'd kind of checked off a lot of, but not all of the loose plot lines. And got to a point where it's, okay, this is clean enough to end for a season. And ended on a note that certainly provides a second season possibility, probability.
Mm-hmm.
Although it wasn't entirely sure they were going to make it to that. I mean, the ability, story-wise, to go there. But would have served, if they hadn't gotten a second season, as a not horrific ending.
Yeah.
I always got annoyed with, like, Smallville and a few other shows where, at the end of most seasons, almost every opening credits cast member, their character was in some sort of serious jeopardy that really reeked of contract renegotiations.
Yeah.
Whether it literally was or not.
Yeah.
And here, they'd actually gotten a lot of these characters into a decent place.
Yeah. Well, I joke, there used to be a soap opera that every time a certain actor was due to renegotiate his contract, his character boarded an airplane. And it was always dicey whether or not that airplane would land at its destination.
Well, it was kind of that way on Smallville, except they'd either be falling out of the airplane or something of the sort.
I mean, he crashed in the boonies of Utah for 5 months at one point.
Yeah. Well, I did like the fact that none of the characters, and there were quite a few characters in the show.
There were.
None of them seemed to just drop off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple, it's like, okay, we didn't see the two, what turned out to be government agents, on like the second or fourth episode or something, but they'd only missed the one, and we can't cover everybody every episode. So, and it took that plot line about half the season to get rolling.
Yeah.
And a good ways into it to really get up fully up to speed.
Well, and I'm curious if we'll see the guy from that next season.
I think we have to.
I kind of want him to have stayed in Patience, Colorado.
I think he will. I think he will be part of the in circle.
Yeah. I suspect he'll almost be afraid to leave, given the peril he's in.
Well, his boss has basically ordered his coworker to kill him.
Yeah.
And that boss, who's kind of associated with the Men in Black of this world, as in the alien police, if you will. And that's played by Linda Hamilton.
I was going to say, when Sarah Connor wants you dead.
Yeah, you don't mess around. Yeah, she was good casting on that. There were a couple of times I wondered if some of these things happened because on the convention circuit, obviously Dark Horse is there. They've got, you know, Resident Alien. They may be shopping around. Alan Tudyk goes to these conventions. Maybe that's how he got in. Maybe it's not. But is that how some of this, you know, hey, this would be a good person for this role sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So overall, I was pleased by some of the name guest stars they got.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Hamilton, Terry O'Quinn,
mm-hmm.
To name a few. But also how most of the cast were actors I was unfamiliar with, but really good.
Yeah. It was a good cast. It did get a little gory at times.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Not my sense of humor. So if
and it, some profanity throughout.
Yes. Yeah. If it hadn't been for a good story, good acting, I might not have stuck with it.
If it hadn't been based on a comic I was familiar with, and because that's kind of what got it on my radar to begin with, if it hadn't had Alan Tudyk starring, because that was one of the other reasons it got on my radar, he's a very talented actor.
He is.
If it had been in the hands of a lesser lead actor, I think a lot of the awkward humor could have very much either fallen flat or just too awkward for me to say, yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, as it was, there were parts of the season I didn't love, particularly that awkward humor at times. But it was, overall, it was an enjoyable watch. It's fun.
Yeah, the cast really kept it going.
Mm-hmm. I think this same thing, though, could have had much more of a typical whodunit kind of mystery aspect to it,
mm-hmm.
in place of the wacky humor.
Yeah.
And also been a fun show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think they could up their game on the whodunit front.
I think, I'm positive they could.
Yeah.
I just think this is the show they want to be doing.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's just, again, when I think of the comic book, humor is not what I think of. It's more the mystery and that sort of genre.
Yeah.
And it was, frankly, while it starred in Alien, it was not particularly sci-fi.
No.
Here, there's a bit more sci-fi aspects to it. It's not a sci-fi story. It's a story. It's a humor story with sci-fi trappings.
Yeah.
They make a lot more to do with him being an alien. The ramifications of who can see him, who can't. The technology, the alien hunting, all of that is a much integral part of the story. And while there are agents after him in the comic, it's mainly overarching subplot over the series of miniseries. We got more of it here, probably in any one episode, than it felt like we got in the comic. So, again, these things are going to get changed when you take it from one medium to another.
Yeah.
Both in terms of what you can do and what you want to do. And what attracted the people who are adapting it to the property to begin with. Because they could have said, that's a decent idea, but man, we could really make it hilarious if we did this. Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, 10 episodes. I felt it was, again, a fun watch.
Mm-hmm.
Each episode, I think, stood fine on its own, but clearly built to the serial narrative.
Yeah.
And there have been some where it's like, yeah, you've got that serial narrative, but man, any individual episode, yeah, it's okay. Here, they were solid.
Yeah.
So, I know they've got a second season. I think there's a couple of things that seem pretty obvious to do. We'll see what direction they go, big picture. And if there's any ramifications for Harry's decision, presumably, to stay on Earth to start on the second season.
Well, technically, he has to come back to Earth.
Yes.
But yes.
But him not killing everybody might get noticed.
I'm just saying that, you know, the beginning of the second season, we could be on the ship for a little while with him actually debating.
I don't think so. I expect us to start back on Earth in the cabin or somewhere and then get a flashback. Because we may not find out what happens to Max the whole first episode.
That would be so funny. That would be very typical of their sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, and part of it is I don't think they really establish time of year. But it would almost be hilarious if we go through 90% of the episode where we're focused on Harry and all the adults. And then at the end, we have Max in school being given back a paper with a big F on the top. And the label is what I did over my summer vacation.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
And the teacher having a note saying, I didn't say creative writing.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be funny. Yeah, we'll see where they go. I'm curious where they go and how long it'll take to get that next season.
Yeah. I like the small community. I like the sense of everyone knowing everyone. I think they did well with that.
Yeah, the community building, I think, was one of the strengths of the show. Because we've got at least a dozen characters that were recurring and recognizable, even if not in every episode.
Yeah.
Like the other nurse
and
some stuff like that.
The lady from the bowling alley who came into the bar periodically, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully they can get everybody back. Hopefully they've got a good plot line for that. I mean, they've got 6 or 7 miniseries to pull from.
Nice.
Some of which were 3 or 4 episode issues, and some of which were up to about 6. So they've got a lot to pull from. It's just, I don't know how many of those kind of mystery type stories they're going to want to use and how much of some of the overall plot line of like the government tracking them and stuff like that, they've kind of already burned through.
Mm. Interesting.
So again, a lot of possibility. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.